We're going to continue our worship here this morning by turning to page 5 in your bulletin or opening your Bible if you have a Bible with you. We're going to hear God's word today together from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And if you're the note taker type, if you have a pencil, if you have a pen, go ahead and circle verses 3 and 4. Make a circle around those verses. Or if you don't have one of those instruments at your side, think of verses 3 and 4 as the soil out of which verses 5 through 11 grow. Verses 3 and 4 are the soil out of which verses 5 through 11 grow. Or verses 3 and 4 are the cause of verses 5 through 11. Let's hear those verses now together. Let's hear God's powerful, life-changing, inspired, holy word together, starting at verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, the very reason is verses 3 and 4. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence, to moral excellence knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray that we would grow in our knowledge of you here this morning and a knowledge that will help us throughout the year to come. We pray that your Spirit would help that to occur. We pray that, Lord, we would grow into a deeper knowledge of who you are and who we are. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody feel disappointed because you failed to reach your goals in 2017? Does anybody feel worried, anxious, not totally certain about reaching your goals in 2018? Do you find it exciting to create goals but exhausting to keep them? Why is it that goal-setting creativity abounds in January, but goal-keeping activity subsides in May? Why is that? Well, could it be because life happens, our energy lessens, sickness occurs, death occurs, work calls, relationships demand our attention, demand our time, self-control wanes, it goes away, it lessens, perseverance weakens, changes happen outside of us. In other words, we are not super human. If things come in between us and our goals, then achieving those goals becomes harder, becomes more difficult. We are dependent creatures. We're dependent on things to go well around us if we're going to keep our goals, if we're going to reach our goals for personal growth. Well, how much more so are we dependent for reaching our goals, for growing, for abounding in our goals for Christian growth, for spiritual growth? Would you like to see your faith abound in 2018? Do you look back on 2017 with regret, with conviction, with disappointment because your faith was weak? Well, if you'd like to see your faith grow, how will that happen? How are you going to grow towards that goal? Well, faith abounds when we dependently respond to God's independent provision. Our faith abounds when we dependently respond to God's independent provision. And the cause of our abounding faith is God's independent provision, his independent providing of what we need to abound in our faith, and that's found in verses 3 and 4. The cause, the soil out of which the trunk and taproot and branches of verses 5 through 11 grow. Let's hear verses 3 and 4 again. And again, think of these verses as soil, as the cause of verses 5 through 11. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You already have that. You already have all things that pertain to life and godliness if you're in Christ. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of lust or through lust. God is the only independent being in the universe. In other words, he's not dependent on anything outside of himself. In and of himself, he's fully self-existent. Not like us. We're dependent on a lot of things outside of ourself. He's fully self-existent, fully self-sufficient, fully powerful, fully vital, full of life, fully holy, fully glorious, fully righteous, fully just, fully loving, fully gracious, fully virtuous. He's the one that has virtue. God is independent, yet he provides and he doesn't have to. He's fully self-existent in and of himself, yet out of his grace he provides, he gives. He created us, which was an act of his grace, which was an example of his provision, of him providing something for us. He gives what he doesn't have to give. Verse 3 is an example of that. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's independent, yet he gives us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He gives us natural life and supernatural life, if he so chooses, out of his grace, to give that to you. So the natural life becomes a new creation. He gives life out of his goodness, which can result in our godliness. Verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness. If, there's a condition on that though. If he graciously chooses to grant you new birth, new life, supernatural life. Unless or until we are born again, we cannot live out the commands of verses 5 through 7. There's commands in verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith, etc. In order to live out a command like that, we got to have new life. We got to be born again first. Or we'll never be able to live out those commands, because why? A dead person can't do anything like that. Can't live out any sort of commands like that. New birth precedes and empowers verses 5 through 7. Spiritual birth precedes spiritual living. Spiritual begetting precedes spiritual living. There'll be no spiritual living unless there's first a spiritual begetting that happens because of God's independent provision, because of his grace, because of his goodness towards us. Moralism or godless morality is the result of attempting to live out verses 5 through 7 without the soil of verses 3 through 4. Moralism or godless morality. Did you know you can have a godless morality? Can look good on the outside. Can look real, but really be artificial on the inside. Can look like a real tree, but upon close inspection, mixed with suffering and trials, it can be made known that you're an artificial tree, you're a fake tree. Well, God's effectual calling by and for his glory and goodness is the means by which God infuses his soil with divine power. There's some particular things mixed in the general soil of verses 3 and 4. 1-3 again, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. We already have all that we need for life, regular natural life and Christian life or supernatural life, through the knowledge of him who called us. God's calling is effectual. It brings about a change. It changes us. By his own glory and virtue, we're called by his glory, by his virtue, and we're called to his glory and to his virtue. God's calling supplies specific nutrients to his faith-giving and godly life-empowering soil of verses 3 and 4. The nutrients contain promises that supply us with the ability to partake and escape, to partake of the divine nature, verse 4, to partake of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust or because of lust. The promises, which Peter doesn't define here in our text, channel two benefits to us. One benefit is that we cannot become deified. We don't become gods. That's not what partaking of the divine nature means. It means that we become more like God. We do not become gods in and of ourselves, but we become more like God. We're not deified, but sanctified. We partake of the divine nature by participating or sharing by means of close communion and fellowship with the independent provider God. So that's the first thing. It's a positive thing that's channeled to us. We can partake of the divine nature. We can commune with God, have fellowship with God. Koinonia is the word that's used here for for partaking of the divine nature. Koinonia means fellowship. That's how we partake of the divine nature, through fellowship, not through God zapping us and making us little gods. So that's the first channel of benefit to us. It's positive. And then there's a negative. There's something that's removed from us, and that's as we can escape from the corruption that's all around us in the world because of lust. We turn to God, in other words, in the fellowship, in the partaking of the divine nature, and we turn from the world, from the sinful world system. God, the independent provider, provides us with all that is mentioned in verses 3 and 4 by his grace. His independent provision gives us all we need for life and godliness. In other words, verses 3 and 4 are the cause of abounding faith, the soil out of which abounding faith grows. Faith is the taproot that pierces down into that soil of verses 3 through 4. Faith is the taproot and the trunk of the tree that produces the branches of virtue in verses 5, 6, and 7. Without a faith rooted in God's independent provisionary soil, verses 3 and 4, no true godly virtues would ever exist or grow or be true and real, stand the test of time. So what are we to do? We're to till the soil of verses 3 and 4 with the tool of gratitude and thankfulness for God's independent provision. That not only did he create us and he didn't need to, he entered into a relationship, a saving relationship with his elect, with his people that he graciously chooses to enter into a relationship with. And that caused gratitude and thankfulness to rise up in us. Water the soil, verses 3 and 4, with buckets of gratitude. You can think about it that way. Pour buckets of gratitude and thankfulness on verses 3 and 4 to help spring up, to help grow the virtues, the trunk and branches of verses 5 through 11. Sink the taproot of abiding faith into the soil of verses 3 and 4 by, how do you do that? By dependently responding to God's independent provision. Sink the taproot of faith, pierce it down into verses 3 and 4 by dependently responding to God's independent provision. The character of abounding faith is dependent, yet it's responsive. Why did I pick those two words? Well, dependent gives the idea of we have to rely on God. We have to rely on a source outside of ourselves, namely God, to even have faith. We don't have the ability to have faith in and of ourselves, but if we have that Holy Spirit granted faith from God's provision towards us, that faith is also going to be responsive. It's going to be dependent, yes, on God, but not passive, responsive, or active. We're saved by faith alone, but that faith never remains alone. It doesn't stay alone. It shows itself in verses 5 through 11. Well, particularly verses 5 through 7 in the virtues here. Saving faith is dependent, yet it's responsive. Its dependence responds with action. You could see it, like the book of James says in James chapter 2. You could see faith. Verse 5, but for this very reason, what's the very reason? It's verses 3 and 4. It's that soil that we talked about already. Give all diligence. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. To moral excellence, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Because of God's independent provision, we have faith. If there was no verses 3 and 4, we wouldn't have the faith he talks about in verse 5. But do you want your faith to abound? Do you ever feel like you maybe don't even have faith sometimes? You're not even sure if you're a Christian. You're not sure how strong your faith really is. I've experienced things like that in my Christian life. I've wondered. I've had doubts. I've had struggles with assurance of my salvation, if God was really for me, not against me. That's what it means to be a Christian, where God's for you, not against you. Well, if we want our faith to abound, then give all diligence to add the seven branches of virtue to the taproot and to the trunk of faith. Give all diligence to add the seven branches of virtues to the taproot. Remember, a taproot is a root that goes down farther than all the other roots. It's an essential root that goes deep down. Add to that taproot, which is faith, and to the trunk, which also is faith, these virtues that Peter talks about here. Faith is first for a reason. He lists faith first for a very important reason. Without faith proceeding, no virtues would be following. If we didn't have faith, we could not produce in a dependently responsive way on God's independent provision the virtues that follow after that. Faith is dependently responsive, and therefore, in other words, it's active. There's an activity to real, true, saving faith. It responds by generating virtue-enhancing branches, like Peter talks about. It responds by generating virtue-enhancing branches. It gives all diligence. It's an active faith. Saving faith is active. Giving all diligence to add to your faith is not the same thing or is not synonymous with works righteousness either. Giving all diligence or activeness is not synonymous, does not equal works righteousness, does not equal, you forgot, the very important doctrine by which the church stands or falls, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Doesn't mean that. It would be works righteousness if verses 5, 6, and 7, the verses about the seven virtues, were not rooted in, were not pierced down deep into verses 3 and 4. But, as one commentator puts it, a godly character does not emerge from passivity. A godly character does not emerge from passivity, from kicking back, leaning back, coasting, taking it easy. As Luther says, so here the commentator quotes Martin Luther, the champion of the doctrine, justification by faith alone. He had a lot to say about that. Luther says this, they should prove their faith by their good works. They should prove their faith by their good works or by their virtues. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love stem from faith, and faith stems from God's independent provision in verses 3 and 4. However, the seven branches of virtue do not necessarily stem from or build logically on one another, all except faith. Faith is that first domino that has to fall, and that gets all the other virtues to come after it. But it's not the case that we have to master, let's say, knowledge first, get a mastery of that in verse 5, and then we move on to self-control. And then once we master self-control, then we move on to perseverance. It doesn't work in that order like that, like dominoes falling, all except faith. Faith has to be that first thing to get it all going, to get those virtues to come after it. Rather, the branches or the virtues branch off from the trunk and taproot of faith. If you could picture a tree and you see the branches coming off of it, the branches are not necessarily built on one another, the ones that are connected to the trunk. No, they're just coming off the trunk. That's how the virtues are. The trunk is faith, the branches are the different virtues, and they're branching off at different times. Not necessarily because the one virtue causes the other virtue to grow. And do you ever think about this? When a tree grows taller by means of its branches, its roots also grow deeper. When a tree grows taller, its roots also grow deeper into the ground. Likewise with us, right? When we grow taller or more mature in our walk with the Lord, when the virtues start to grow and blossom on our lives, in our lives, we are to grow more deeper. We're actually only doing that because we already have grown deeper down into the soil of verses 3 and 4. Deeper down into God, deeper down into His independent provision, deeper down into the source by which we can grow taller, grow more mature. In other words, to grow up in the Christian life is to grow down, deeper down into God, into His provision, His ability. If your faith was not abounding in 2017 and you would like it to abound in 2018, does anyone have that desire? That's one of the ways you know you're a Christian. Not that you've arrived at perfection regarding your faith, but you have a change in direction. You want to grow more in your faith. You're not satisfied with the faith that you have. Now, if that's you, and if verse 8 in chapter 1 here of 2 Peter did not describe your life in 2017, what can you do? What does verse 8 say? For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you feel barren? Did you feel unfruitful in your life, in your faith in 2017? If our faith was barren and it was unfruitful, how can we make it full? How can we make it fruitful, bountiful in 2018? If our faith was corrupt and unhealthy, barely there, barely hanging on, almost as if it didn't exist, how could we purify it? Well, we could inject the purifying, the cleansing serum of verse 9 into our faith taproot. Feed the taproot of faith with the purifying and cleansing work of Christ, as verse 9 says. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Forgetting that we are cleansed and purified from our old sins hinders our faith from abounding. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that powerful? That forgiveness is one of those particular ingredients that helps our faith to grow. Forgetting that we're already forgiven makes it harder to show those virtues in our life, makes it more difficult for our faith to abound. If you're in Christ from God's perspective, what would verse 9 look like? What would that look like in our lives if we were going to apply that, meditate on that, chew that over, to till the soil of that verse? What would it look like? I think it would look something like this. If you're in Christ, it's important that that's the condition that's met. How is that condition met? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because of God's glory alone. And that's all revealed to us through the medium of the scriptures alone. If you're in Christ from God's perspective, from God's point of view, you already are. You already are counted, reckoned as perfectly virtuous before you even show any virtues on your tree, on your trunk. You already are counted as perfectly virtuous because of Christ. In and of yourself, you're not. You're full, like myself, of vices, not virtues. But God, because of the work of Christ, can look at you and declare you, count you as virtuous, even before you give all diligence to add to your faith those things that Peter mentions. It also means this, I think, meditating on verse 9. You already are declared perfectly righteous because of Christ's virtuosity and purity and righteousness. He's the reason why you can apply verse 9 to your life if you've lacked faith in 2017. You already are cleansed and purified from all vices before you even begin to battle those vices. Before you even begin to uproot the vices and plant virtues in their place, you already are, in God's sight, purified from those vices. Think about how Christ's cleansing and purifying work helps you with your faith. Before, during, and after you try to add virtues. Before you try to add all diligence, give all diligence to add virtues to your faith. And dependently respond to God's independent provision when the gusts, when the gales, when the hurricanes, the tornadoes of sin, of worry, of disappointment seek to uproot you, seek to uproot your faith in 2018. Dependently respond to God, that force that hits you and makes it feel as if it's going to uproot you. Somehow work with that force. Work with it, not against it, and allow that force, those gusts, those gales, those hurricanes, those tornadoes of sin, doubt, and disappointment, and worry to root you deeper down into the ground rather than uprooting you and spinning you all around. Abounding faith comes by way of depending, rooting, relying, and resting in God and the work of Christ, the forgiving work of Christ. And what should that lead to in our lives? The conclusion here, verses 10 through 11, that Peter gives us. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. So if we understand verses 3 and 4 as the soil, verses 5 through 7, 8 and 9 as the effect that comes out of the cause of verses 3 and 4, that is going to help us to make our call and election sure. On the surface, when we have doubts about our faith, doubts about the assurance of our salvation, underneath that surface sometimes is doubting whether we're elect or not. But Peter says, he commands us, it's not an option, we're commanded to make our calling and election sure through what verses 3 through 9 teach us. And if we do the things that verses 3 through 9 teach us, we will never stumble. Wow, if I really believe that in my life, right? Never stumble. That's what the Word of God says. God's not lying here. He's promising it, that that would actually be the case. So that must mean when I stumble, I'm not living out. I'm not believing. I'm not doing what verses 3 through 9 teach me. And what's going to happen then? For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We already are seeing His kingdom advance here on earth in the universe. But what? There awaits a time that's not yet where His kingdom will be fully here for us and will be fully part of that kingdom. So may God root us. May God ground us. May God give us growth in 2018. May our faith abound in 2018. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for who You are. Thank You that You provide to us all we need for life, all we need for godliness. Lord, I pray for myself and for all of us here that our faith would abound, not so that we would get the glory and praise and honor, but so that You would get the glory, praise, and honor. Root us deeply, more deeply into You, into the soil of verses 3 and 4, so that the virtues would branch off out of that soil, up out of that soil, all to Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.